For me, sermons come from sort of an indefinite place. It starts as an intuition or a lump in the throat or for some vague sense that there's something here that needs to be unearthed or discovered. And most of the week, I'm not really sure what that is. I just sort of know there's something there, and I work on it consciously, unconsciously. But I know there's something that will be there when Sunday morning rolls around. Sometimes it doesn't actually show up until after midnight on Saturday, but but it tends to show up. And the lump in the throat this week, and lately, actually, for me, has been just the word remember. Remember. And so the scripture I'm going to read in a moment begins by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. It's a scripture that I have known for years that I would read at the close of my days here at Wildwood. Because Paul describes so beautifully how he feels about the people of the church in Philippi, people that he loves with all of his heart. But then there was another word that was also attaching itself to that lump in the throat, and it came strangely from a book review that I had kept for a while but had never read, and it was stacked in one of the corners of my, well, it was stacked in the middle of the floor of my office. And it's a book written by an American who went to be a doctoral student under Karl Barth, who's the great Protestant theologian in Switzerland. And there in Switzerland, he had been through years of study and years of writing his dissertation, and he was feeling guilty about all the resources, financial and otherwise, that other people had made available so that he could take this luxury of time to just study. And he went to tell Karl Barth, his teacher and mentor, about it. And Barth just waved his hands and said, all is grace. All is grace. And Barth wrote, I don't know, a dozen volumes of theology in very small print. The imposing church dogmatics. But I think those words would sum it up for him. All is grace. So along with the word remember comes the word grace. And I should not have been surprised to discover that this passage from Philippians also has the word grace in it as well. So here the word of God as it comes from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we are coming to the end of this journey that we have shared, this journey of faith that has lasted 23 years in this good and holy place. And I am really good at denial. And sometimes that's a good thing. I mean, how would we survive some of the terrors that assail us in this life without it? But still, in recent weeks, I have been preoccupied with the details of selling one home and buying another, of the whole Presbyterian process, of cleaning an office that frankly hasn't been cleaned since sometime in the 1990s. I know what you're thinking. You say, you came to a new office, Greg. What happened? Well, I just moved one mess from Sears Boulevard to here. And the truth is, I've not been paying a whole lot of attention to the narrowing of days, as perhaps I should have. November 23rd has been sneaking up on me. So last Saturday, last weekend, I was on the youth retreat to Lake Geneva, which was sort of an enforced Sabbath. It was a required break. It was a mandatory all stop. Now, I had no responsibilities on this street other than to be there, to hang out with our kids. And you know, there were all kinds of free time. There was all kinds of free time on Saturday afternoon. And I fought it. I thought, you know, I should drive back and do some more cleaning up stuff, going through files, make a couple of visits here, and then I can get back up in time for the evening program at Lake Geneva, and I would accomplish more and get all... And fortunately, the Spirit said no. I don't know if it was my spirit, but I think it was probably the Holy Spirit that said no. And grace happened. Now, you know that bumper sticker, don't you, that says, S happens. Well, S does happen. But grace... But just as often, and more often, I think, grace happens. For the first time in a long time, I just watched time go by. We sat there, many of us, people coming and going, as clouds moved from west to east over a suddenly sunlit and spectacular Lake Geneva, illuminating a golden tree that had stubbornly kept its leaves just for that day, I think, just for us to enjoy. And a circle of my kids, by which I mean the youth group kids who are in high school now, and many of the advisor team were my kids when they were in high school and still are today. We just sat there talking about all kinds of things and sometimes not talking. And I was well aware, of course, at that point that the meter was running, that this is my last retreat. One of those lasts I've been avoiding, and yet it wasn't dominated by the lastness of it. That was the really nice thing. I was aware of it, but I wasn't dominated by the lastness. It was sort of a moment beyond time, as I remember it. And it made me think about that Karl Barth comment to his student, that all is grace. And I saw grace in that moment. And it made me realize about all the moments that have been. But that one moment, the beauty of the water and the sky, the beauty of these young people who are ours to share for a time, the beauty of the opportunity that I've had to be part of their lives and your lives these last 23 years, it was all grace. All grace. Such a gift. Such a gift. Robert Frost, of course, the great poet, had a poem that for some reason I memorized years ago, and I thought of it last Saturday, as I've been thinking of it many times this fall. It's called Nothing Gold Can Stay. It's about that moment at the beginning of day when the sun first rises and everything is lit up with that golden glow, but that time passes on. And Frost writes, "Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her earthly leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. As dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay." And Frost is right, of course. Nothing gold can stay. The times we have been graced by God with these last 23 years will soon be a memory. So there's a bit of an ache in Frost's words, as there was a bit of an ache as I sat by Lake Geneva last Saturday, as there's a bit of an ache right now as I look at your faces. And yet, Frost was wrong, too. And I think ultimately he is wrong, because all that is gold does stay. And in the end, I believe, by the grace of God, it's only that which is gold that stays. It stays here in my heart when I remember. It stays because grace, though it happens in time, comes to us from beyond time. All the gold that you have been for me and for Kathy and our family, all the graces of God that we've shared can and does and will stay. Because I thank my God every time I remember you. Grateful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day, until now. That golden grace of God that we have shared will stay in my heart always. Because my soul has been shaped and molded and formed by our time together in ways that can't possibly be left behind. But even more than that, all that is gold stays in God's heart. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, who, if you've read all of Ecclesiastes, you know that he's something of a cynic. He talks about the times and seasons of our lives, those familiar words we've heard read and sung. For everything there's a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to love, a time for peace. They're familiar words, but less familiar are the words that come in the verse that follows that says this: whatever God does endures forever. Whatever God does endures forever. The times and seasons of our lives are held in the heart of God forever. Long after we lose our power to remember them, as we all will, God holds them in God's heart. And that surely is part of the truth of the resurrection of the dead that the church has affirmed all these centuries. Not just that something of our personal selves will survive into some future life, but that the grace-filled times and seasons of our lives that have shaped our souls, they too will live on. And so as we prepare to part in a week's time, and as I think about all that has been in these 23 years, I think of the gold that has been the grace that God has given us to share. And I know that all that gold stays. And that whatever God does will endure forever. It's interesting, if you were listening, you heard the scripture say that it's right for me to feel this way about you all, Paul says, because you hold me in your heart. But the Greek is sort of vague there. It depends on the translation. Sometimes it's translated, Paul says, it's right for me to feel this way because I hold you in my heart. And the grace, of course, is that both of those are true. One last message for us from Paul in Philippians 2, and it's a conviction of Paul's that I share, when he said, I am confident that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began a good work in you is the one who said, do this in remembrance of me. the one who gave his life for ours, the one who never gives up on us, the one who is himself the Lord and the giver of life. Christ is the one who has begun a good work in you, in all of us. And we can trust him to bring that good work to fulfillment, to completion. I think that's true of us as individual souls. The God who gave us life in the beginning is at work within us and among us, luring us by grace toward the completion and the fulfillment of our souls. And it's been one of the great privileges for me to have been able to see the grace of God doing just that in your lives over these years. And I thank you for that. But I believe those words are also for the church as a whole, for Wildwood Presbyterian Church, that the God who began a good work among us will not fail, will bring it to completion. The grace of God has been at work in and among and through us here at Wildwood, blessing children and healing hearts and forgiving sins and raising the dead and encouraging souls and changing the world in ways great and small, from our gym on Tuesday night during PADS to that school in El Salvador and another one in Haiti. And God is most definitely not finished yet, not by a long shot. And the one who began a good work among us can be trusted to bring that good work to completion, to fulfillment, to joy. Or if you're looking for the bumper sticker version of that, grace will continue to happen here at WPC and out there in the world that is God's gift. For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. Pray with me. O Lord, bless these good and faithful people whom I hold in my heart, knowing that you hold all of us in yours. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, I ask it. Amen.